All right, our scripture text is taken from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 2 and verse 17 will serve as our text this morning. We've closed out Genesis, so now we're going to embark on a series of teachings in the Gospel of Mark. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now let us read, by way of introduction, the context of the passage, beginning in verse 13. "Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as he was dining in Levi's house that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, 'How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?' When Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" So here we have the record of the call of Levi, aka Matthew. We know from comparing this account with the other gospel accounts, who was a tax collector by trade. Following his call, Matthew invites Jesus and his disciples over for dinner. Of course, the self-righteous Pharisees find fault with Christ's presence in that place among those people, for they had esteemed themselves to be much better men than Matthew and his associates, and above keeping company with people who do not measure up to their own standards. Of course, our Lord Jesus the Christ has given us the opposite example. He who is much greater than all men kept company with sinners for a time. He came down from his heavenly abode into the infirmary of men that the gospel might be preached according to the providence of God. And behold, he has given you and I the opposite instruction. Go out into the world. Don't be conformed to the world, but go out into it and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature, both small and great. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now in the sermon proper this morning, we're going to affirm that Jesus Christ is a physician, and I wish to impress upon each and every one of you here in my hearing how great a physician he is. There is universal sickness in the world. Those who think themselves well have no need for a doctor. Yet those who are sick seek out a physician with great earnest. Jesus Christ provides the cure to all who visit his divine practice. First, there is universal sickness in the world. Now, this is obvious in the physical sense. human sickness and physical death are the results of the fall. The results of original sin and its consequences have gone forth even to the 100th generation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, the sickness referred to in our text is not a physical one. That's quite obvious from the context. The reference to the sickness is to spiritual sickness. Jesus did not come to call those who are sick, but what kind of people? Sinners. Sinners. It's within the same scope that the atonement of Isaiah 53 can be clearly understood. That Jesus came to cure men and women everywhere and in all places of spiritual disease, the disease of sin, which is the root of all of our maladies. The universality of this particular malady, namely sin, is clearly affirmed in Scripture. You've probably heard these verses. We often use them when we preach the gospel using what's called the Romans Road to Salvation. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And again, there is none righteous, no, not one. And again, there is none who does good, no, not one. And it was for the sin disease problem that Jesus came and he died. Now, those who think themselves well have no need for a doctor. Now, Jesus, in our text, is speaking tongue-in-cheek, right? He's saying that he didn't come to call the self-righteous, because we know from myriad other scriptures that there were none who were righteous enough to merit salvation. And so he's speaking tongue-in-cheek here, and the meaning of this scripture is along these lines. I did not come to call the self-righteous, but those who clearly understand that they're sinners unto repentance. His point was that the Pharisees believed that they could get to heaven based upon their good works. And they thought that because they were good, moral people, they thought that because they were of the circumcision, partakers of the Old Testament covenant, that they had the inside track on heaven. Take a read of the book of Galatians, and the Apostle Paul answers that kind of thinking in depth. But suffice it to say, we find it inherent in our text. And Jesus says in the Gospel of John, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And he expounds upon that scripture in the 9th verse of the 10th chapter of John. These scriptures are printed in your bulletin for your reference later. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. What were the Pharisees doing? They weren't trusting in anticipation of the work of the Messiah and those who would live after Jesus the Christ accomplished his work on their behalf. They weren't looking back upon that for salvation, but they were still trusting in their covenant standing before God. People to this day do exactly that. There are Jews, Orthodox Jews to this day, who have not accepted Messiah, and they're trusting upon their own moral standing before God, and they are trying to climb into heaven, into the heavenly sheepfold, by some other way. And the Bible says of them, the same as a thief and a robber. You can't get into heaven that way, but only through the door. You must come in at the door, as the song says. This is the gospel. Now, the Jews enter into this covenant on the basis of circumcision, being circumcised after the eighth day and grafted, as it were, into the ethnic Jewish community, you might say. And they think that by this, some special grace has been imparted unto them. But when was faith reckoned to Abraham's account? Before the covenant of circumcision was given. Genesis 15, 6, and the Apostle Paul makes this point over and over again in his letters. And we have the same kind of thing, right? We had a baptism last weekend, which is believer's baptism. Now, in the Roman Catholic Church, and in the understanding of many other denominations, there's this kind of thinking that equates infant baptism, which is found nowhere in the Bible, to the circumcision of the Jews. And the understanding is exactly the same, that grace is imparted through the sacrament, and that through membership in the church, heavenly inheritance can be attained. That kind of heresy is a stumbling block for many. Praise God that many in that type of church manage to find their way over the stumbling block and come out of the system and into true Christendom. All right, those who think themselves well have no need of a doctor. Now, if you think yourself to be well physically this morning and healthy, are you going to pick up the phone and call a doctor as soon as you leave here? Well, of course not. You don't think you need one. You're doing just fine. Likewise, if one were to think himself or herself spiritually healthy, they wouldn't seek a spiritual doctor. By the same token, would the earthly physician make house calls, show up at your home, knocking on your door to treat you and hand you a prescription if you don't think you need one, if you haven't invited him? Well, of course not. That would be a waste of his services, wouldn't it? Neither will Jesus make house calls to those who profess to be spiritually well. When he would do so, he would be met with a response after this manner: "Sir, you are not sick, but well. I can't help you today." For Christ will not force himself into a place, into a heart, which has not been prepared for him to enter. And furthermore, there are a great many sick this morning who earnestly desire his services and are begging for the cure. Which leads us into our third point, that those who are sick seek out a doctor. When we're physically sick, maybe for a time, we'll be good and stubborn about it. Especially if we're after the male sort of species. We're not going to be calling a doctor anytime soon, if we can avoid it. Because we're going to get through this thing. We're going to get through this sickness. We're going to go to CVS and we're going to pick up some Tylenol and see if that helps. And even if that doesn't help, we might suffer for another 10 days trying to take the edge off. Maybe try and, you know, Motrin and whatever else we can come up with to see if we'll get better on our own accord. But sooner or later, we're going to realize that this sickness is not something that we can treat by ourselves. Sooner or later, we're going to pick up the phone, we're going to set aside our pride and stubbornness, and we're going to call the doctor like we should have 10 days ago. Likewise, in the spiritual realm, we can go a great long way putting off calling the great physician. But sooner or later, the elect will be brought to the place where they pick up the phone of prayer, figuratively speaking, and call the great physician and say, Lord, I've tried getting over this malady of sin by using the over-the-counter stuff, by trying programs, by trying my own way, by trying to make myself better, by wishing and hoping and praying to a God that I don't even know. But now, Lord, I need the great physician. For I cannot effect a cure. But I've heard it said that he can. God, through your Son, save my soul. Cure me of my sin once and for all. And the great physician, Jesus Christ, comes quickly to effect the cure. His practice has a 100% success rate. And it's been going strong for 6,000 years. Now the best of human physicians can perhaps extend your life for a decade, or 20, or even 30 of years. But the great physician can extend your life both in quality and quantity, starting right now with results that continue into eternity. For he said this, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Jesus Christ provides the cure for all who visit his practice. You know, tax collectors were famous for stealing money. They would go out and they would collect the tax for Caesar, and they would charge a little bit over and above so they could skim a little bit off the top and make themselves rich. Have you stolen? Have you been dishonest in your life? Well, Jesus Christ provides the cure for you. John and James, they had some hot tempers, right? They didn't call these guys sons of Boanerges for nothing. Lord, the Samaritans don't believe. Can we call fire down from heaven and fry them? No, says Jesus. No. Oh, you guys. How long am I going to bear with you guys? But yet Jesus Christ had the cure for the sons of Boanerges. The younger brother, John, is today known as the Apostle of what? Love. Thomas had little faith. Do you have little faith? Do you struggle with believing that Jesus says that he can do what he said he was going to do? Maybe not in the moment right now. Maybe not intellectually. Maybe you don't struggle after the manner of an intellectual understanding. But when you're in the trial, do you struggle? Well, Jesus Christ, the great physician, has a cure for you. Have you lived uncleanly? Do you lust often or occasionally? There's a story of a harlot who fell at Jesus' feet and found her sins forgiven. There was no human physician that could cure her of her uncleanness. But there was a divine one, and she sought him, and Jesus said, "Woman, you're leaving this place forgiven. Not because you've obtained any of the self-righteousness of Simon the Pharisee, but because you've humbled yourself before God." Do you struggle with the lust of uncleanness? Jesus Christ provides a cure for you. Paul, when he was formerly called Saul, was an accessory to murder. The murder of the righteous Stephen, even. He was a blasphemer, by his own admission, a sinner and the chief of sinners. Jesus Christ provided the cure for the chief of sinners. If he can do that, he can provide the cure for you. But you say, "I do not deserve God's favor. I have done very bad things indeed." I won't argue with you. You have, and so have I. These things are true. If we realize that we do not deserve God's favor, yea, if you realize that you don't deserve God's favor, don't lose the thought. Don't condemn yourself, for there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But don't stop thinking about it either. Because perhaps if you continue with that type of thinking, you will come to the place where you realize that you need God's grace and you accept it. May you keep that thought not unto condemnation, but unto salvation. Christian, may the great physician cure you of weariness today, as he has done aforetimes, again and again. May each of us here have it impressed upon us to visit your heavenly practice, O Lord. And may our spirits be renewed this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.